The following presentation is brought to you by Rant Entertainment Media. For the entertainment you love and the opinions and history you crave, visit rantenradio.com. The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Continue. Every week, The Shining Wizards is brought to you free of charge, and we thank you for listening. But if you'd like to help support the show in other ways, here's a few things that you can do to help. Go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a review. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and shop the way you usually do. It won't cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy some of our merchandise, visit prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards or shiningwizards.com/merch and purchase one of our t-shirts or some of our other great stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Become our friend on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Check out our Instagram photos at Wizards Podcast. And for all our videos, visit youtube.com/theshiningwizards. The Shining Wizards is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn, The Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, and Tuesdays live at 7 p.m. East on SWLive.net and RantEMRadio.com. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
This is former WWE superstar Al Snow and also a magician to the blind. You're listening to The Shining Wizards.
I have a small dick. God damn! Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your Halloween edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We got a different start time, but it's the same faces. Shining Wizards Matt, Shining Wizards Kevin.
Hey!
We're doing Halloween together.
That's right. We are double teaming Halloween.
And we have a huge show set up tonight. The Million Dollar Man. Ted DiBiase is joining us at 8:30 to talk about his new documentary that comes out next Tuesday, The Price of Fame. And then at 9:30.
Oh, wait, what?
What?
We have something else?
Yeah.
What?
We have ECW alumni.
Yes.
Your favorite and mine, Jack Victory, calling
look
in to talk about fundraiser wrestling. And I know I've mentioned them in the plugs before. So we have a full show plus wrestling talk
and talk about wrestling.
So we're gonna fill. I feel like we should filibuster.
We have to
for the next 15 minutes before Mr. DiBiase joins.
Only the way that we know how to do.
Let me turn you up.
Yeah, turn me up a little bit. Turn it up. Banging it.
There we go. Better.
Better. Great. Grand. Wonderful. Everybody on the bus.
And I'm sure we've had this conversation before, but I'm going to bring it up anyway.
Here we go. This is news. I don't know what you're going to say.
It's Halloween.
Yes, it is.
Halloween is for children.
Fair. Well,
it's for children. You're an adult. You can dress up however you want any day of the week.
It's for Instagram, is what it is.
No, that's stupid. That's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. Are you serious? Have you scrolled through your Instagram feed over the weekend?
I have better. No, I was off this weekend. I had better things to do.
Oh, well, whatever.
I don't want to see what people do. Who cares? You're an adult and you made like a super cool outfit. You're an adult. You can do that whenever you want.
But you'd be looked at as a creep if you did it on like Wednesday, March 3rd.
Would you? Or you'd just be an adult?
I mean, you'd be an adult because you have the option to do what you want.
Sure, someone would be like, what are you dressing up for? You'd be like, because I can.
Because it's Wednesday, March 3rd, bitches.
Look, Halloween is for the kids. It's not for adults.
Ideally. But
it's not. It's for kids.
Dude, all right. I'm gonna take umbrage.
Go ahead.
Because how do you think businesses flourish? Because adults buy things. Bars flourish because adults dress up like slutty nurses, slutty vampires, slutty
all
right, sluts.
First of all, that's not dressing up. They're just taking a short skirt and like a shirt with stripes on it and a hat. And they're like, I'm a slutty pirate.
That's a very good point.
That's well, the weakest outfit ever.
Well played. But they still go out and they still patronize businesses as adults.
That's
leaving
fine.
Leaving their kids to get sugar highs on Twix and Kit Kats and Skittles. With no babysitters,
it's just for
the adults.
I just am not a fan of.
I hate it. By the way, I hate the holiday.
I like Halloween. I like the idea of it—the spooky, the scary, all that stuff. But when it turns into like LeBron James is it, and Kevin Love is Kevin Nash from the NWO Wolfpack.
Wait,
you're an adult.
Wait, Kevin Durant was Kevin Nash?
No, Kevin Love.
Oh, Kevin Love
was Kevin Nash.
That's pretty cool. I respect that. I like seeing people that I didn't know were wrestling fans are wrestling fans.
Sure. I mean, whatever. It is what it is. I can't, like...
When was the last time you dressed up for Halloween? Be honest.
Probably, like, 6 years ago. And I don't even know if this constitutes as dressing up.
Like, put, like, blood on your face?
I took my brother... My brother had a banana suit.
All right. I mean...
So it essentially is just me and, like...
Your regular clothes.
Me in the Ted DiBiase Adidas pants.
Yeah, there you
go. And like a long sleeve like white thermal and a banana. And like shoes.
That constitutes dressing up.
Sure, I guess. I think I went down to Chevy's with my wife.
All right.
Because she wanted to either working or she wanted to see someone down there.
So you dressed up and you went out on a holiday that's for children.
Yeah, it was stupid.
All right. I'm not arguing the fact that Halloween is stupid. I hate Halloween. It annoys the crap out of me. And I think I'm becoming that old dude at the bar that just doesn't tolerate anything and is just so miserable, but he just wants to be left alone. I think that's what I'm becoming.
Tony chimed in. Yes. Tony's trying to throw me under the bus, but it's not going to work.
Well, I'm going to say it.
Because I did. I'm going to say
it. Okay.
Because when I was like 18, 19 years old, my parents went away, and I had a Halloween party at my house. And I went out, and I brought a gorilla suit.
Okay.
Easily the best investment I ever made, by the way. Because later, I wore it to Applebee's, and I went through the back door that the kitchen guys always kept open in the middle of dinner, and I ran through the kitchen in a gorilla costume.
Amazing.
And
at least say Halloween's for the kids.
And the people were the chefs were freaking out. I think up to a certain point. If you're like 35 and you're like getting dressed up to go to like a bar, you kill yourself.
Okay, fair.
Kill yourself.
What about like a nice gathering at the household, at the abode, if you will?
I'm not against it, but I don't know. I'm not into it.
What if it's a bunch of just married folks just hanging out drinking in costumes?
That's a little weird. It's like a scene out of like Eyes Wide Shut. Like that's how that night goes.
Yeah, but all right. So basically what we're doing right now,
like, okay,
we're completely limiting Halloween as a celebratory holiday.
I understand.
Up until what age? 12?
I understand that Halloween, people like to dress up. That's fine. Whatever. But it has gotten to the point where it is no longer for the children. It's for the adults.
No
trunk or treat. That's just another reason for the adults to get dressed up and turn their trunk into whatever magical land they want to be to showcase it to say to some other parent, look at my trunk. Look how great it is. I'm better than you.
That's why it's for adults now.
No, it shouldn't be. It's
okay,
about the kids.
That was not your argument. Your argument initially came out as it's for the kids. And I'm like, well, no, it's not necessarily
yes,
just
Halloween
for the
is
kids
for
anymore.
The kids.
It should be for the kids.
Yes.
Fair enough. We're agreed right there.
Right.
It should
when was
the
last
kids.
Time you dressed up for Halloween?
Oh, fuck. I should probably watch our language, too, with Mr. DiBiase.
Well, when he comes on, we will definitely tone it back with the language since we do have foul potty mouths.
We do. And we apologize. We shouldn't, but we do for this episode.
It's not like we're going to drop a bunch of F-bombs on him while we're talking to him, so. really?
I'm not planning on it, but
you'll be like, fuck you and Halloween.
What the fuck is up with Virgil?
I'm going to ask what's up with Virgil. When was the last time you dressed up for Halloween?
Off the top of my head, it's probably... Oh, when I bartended, I would have to dress up. but it would be like the same thing every year. It would be like I had a referee shirt from refereeing intramural basketball. So I put that on, got a whistle, and wore like black Ted DiBiase Adidas pants and would bartend in a referee shirt. No, I didn't, because I hate Halloween. I hate it.
Okay, but it was like you have to dress up or you're fired?
You don't have to dress up, but like you want to make money. And you know what I did? I had these yellow napkins that like my aunt got me. They say like I sleep till noon for beer or something like that. And I tied them up to make them look like referee flags. So like NFL flags. Yes. So like when people like spilled their beer or said something stupid, I would just throw a flag at them.
Right in their eye. Courtney Brown.
Right in their eye, like Courtney Brown. And so they enjoyed it. They're happier. They're having a good time. They spend more money. They tip you more. So there's a method to the madness. But that was the last time I probably dressed up for Halloween. Maybe last year or 2 years ago.
Okay. Well, off the whole Halloween is for whoever. Were you ever a wrestler for Halloween?
Hulk Hogan. I was an adult though. Rock bottom. I was booked.
I was there for that.
Yeah.
Because I was. I wore Jamie's Frankenberry costume.
That's right. That was K.O. Durf. Did play that?
No, I don't think so. I thought it was just a Halloween party.
Yeah.
I was Frankenberry. Because everyone went out and I could care less, and they were like, "You have to dress up," and I was like, "I'm not going to," because
Now that I don't care for. If people tell you you have to dress up,
you could wear the Frankenberry costume, which was quite ridiculous.
He wore that the year before, right?
Probably.
Yes, because I remember him at the West Orange Bar Crawl.
It just seems like too much. As an adult, there's people that can't like keep themselves like well shaved, well groomed. They can't get up for work on time. They can't pay their bills on time. Their car's a piece of junk, but they're going to put in like 3 weeks worth of effort for this slamming Halloween costume that they're going to wear one night a week. And it's like, hey, maybe you need to get your shit together.
That's like, have you seen the thing on Facebook going around? Are you friends with Danny Cage on Facebook, Monster Factory?
I don't think I am.
Is the account?
I can't see other people's posts through
there. There's this thing going around called hashtag Danny Cage Face, where like he puts his hand over his face and goes on a rant like how these guys can afford to spend all week at the bar but can't afford to go to training for like 2 weeks.
Right.
And then there's just a picture of his face. And then guys like Fala and Bokura and these guys are like hashtagging Danny Cage Face. And that's what it is. It's like you can afford to put all this effort into your Halloween costume, but you can't do anything else. It's basically what was.
It's very unfortunate. Yeah. Sadly, I was never a wrestler for Halloween.
If you could take it all back and do it all over again,
oh man,
what wrestler would you? What was the first wrestler? Who would the first wrestler be you would dress up as?
I think it would have been Hogan. Just because that's Hogan was the guy. It probably would have gone like Hogan.
It's also the easiest and most recognizable
Hogan
character.
Ultimate Warrior. Then Bret Hart probably.
Right.
Maybe you throw in like a Legion of Doom guy at some point. Either
draws.
Hulk or Animal.
Draws.
No draws. That's a rough one right there. I don't know. It was just a different time. Like one year I was, and I'm pretty sure I've told this story on the podcast before. I was the Incredible Hulk.
All
right. Right? And all my God bless my mother, all my Halloween costumes she made herself. Like my brother was Flash Gordon one year and she made a whole outfit for him, like mask and all. It was awesome.
Wait, Flash Gordon?
Yeah.
How old's your brother?
My brother
is he my age? 34?
Probably, yeah.
And he knows Flash Gordon?
Well, the Flash.
Oh, the Flash. Isn't Flash Gordon different than Flash?
Well, Flash Gordon was like the show.
Okay.
And he was in he was like a running joke in Ted.
Ted, yes.
Yes. The Flash was a cartoon character too.
Right. The comic book character, The Flash.
So that was like a DC show when we were kids and we would watch it and I had the figures and
Flash and Flash Gordon are the same thing?
I'm pretty sure they are. I'm not a comic book guy, so don't
neither
quote
am,
me on
neither
this.
Am I, so
I'm
I
sure
no
someone is
Tony,
listening.
Tony's not
Tony's
a barrage of fucking texts. Is
well, I thought he had to take his stupid kid out trick-or-treating, and that's why we had to run around like lunatics to do the show from Studio B. What are you doing listening?
No respect from Tony.
You dick.
No respect.
Anywho, so I was the Incredible Hulk. So I essentially got painted green, and my mother took like purple sweatpants and cut them into shorts, and then I wore shoulder pads. The shoulder pads bothered me, so I took them off, and everyone thought I was Peter Pan. So,
Peter Pan's a very good character to dress as. Very successful.
And then, like, I'm sure I was Dracula for a couple years. Like, I just didn't care.
When I was a kid, I cared. But then, like, you cared for different reasons growing up. When you were, like, a kid, you cared for the candy. When you were, like, a middle school kid, you cared because you'd go out and you'd try to get laid. Not get laid, but, like, hook up with the girls and
that's
shit.
What I did not do any of that when I was in middle. It was all about candy.
In middle school, it was just going out. It was a social event. You were just becoming a social butterfly. And you'd go out and be like a group of like six guys and six girls, and we'd each go off into different areas and try to hook up and shit. So that's, and then high school, if you're still trick or treating when you're in high school, just fucking, you know, take a walk.
Oh, but, I did that too.
Did you?
With a bunch of the guys from West Orange.
See, all right, you guys are lunatics though, so that's like a that's different story. Too.
Look, man, free candy's free candy. I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe if you're a freshman, like, I could have gotten. I probably went when I was a freshman. Because I could have got away with it. I was like 86 pounds and like 5 foot tall as a freshman.
I feel like you're still 86 pounds and 5 foot tall.
151. Just had the physical for the GAOB. 151, and I didn't ask my height. I really wanted to know my height. Because it says 5'8 on my license, but I think I'm taller than 5'8.
Well, you're the one that fills out that information.
Is that a fact?
Yes. When you filled out for your license, you put down how tall you were. And if you just, like, renewed it,
right,
then it's not going to update that information.
But would I grow? Yeah, I probably would have grown.
Yeah, you probably grew from the time you were 17. Not like you didn't sprout up to, like, 6'4", but I'm sure you grew a little bit. Maybe.
One day.
You do that weird thing where you hang upside down every day and try and stretch stretch yourself out.
Okay.
Is that a thing?
Are those like the skis with the hooks?
Yeah.
All right.
Something like that.
All right,
we have the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, calling in. If you're listening to us live on the Rant, rantemradio.com.
You have his plug?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. I have everything right here. if you're listening to us on the Rant, rantemradio.com, we thank you. Late start time from 8 o'clock. We will be going till 10, so I'd like to thank Drew over at the Rant for allowing us this extra time.
Thanks, buddy.
The shoot job, as the kids say, got in the way of this. Ironically enough, we'd been trying to get Ted for a while. I was finally able to set it up last week, and then I got back to the restaurant, and my schedule had completely changed. So I literally ran into this apartment tonight. Everything was set up last night. My wife came home. She thought I was a crazy person just sat down, tested everything. Kevin showed up, and we just went. So
right into it. Dove right in.
Studio B should be called Studio Chaos.
Didn't even test the water. He just jumped in.
Between the Al Snow phone call 2 weeks ago and tonight, it's out of control.
Studio B now stands for Studio Balls Deep.
So Ted DiBiase joining us shortly. He'll be calling in to talk about his documentary coming up, The Price of Fame. Me and Kevin actually got to do like some real, like radio show media stuff yesterday.
Yeah,
and we got to see a screening of the documentary, and we'll get into that with Ted when he calls in just a minute or so. Do you have any Ted DiBiase memories?
I mean,
who doesn't? But I mean, I'm just trying to kill time.
No, I
should
got
be
you.
Calling any
it's,
minute now.
It's so funny. Like, I don't want to see it. All right, well, looks like we're not going to have a whole lot of time to kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is a member of the WWE Hall of Fame. He is the man that has the money for everything. And next Tuesday, November 7th, he has the documentary, The Price of Fame, coming out. The one and only Ted DiBiase. Mr. DiBiase, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you?
We're very well. It's myself and Kevin here. And we were actually just talking about how we got to screen The Price of Fame yesterday. And how did that all come to, the idea behind the documentary? Because it's very different than your traditional wrestling documentary, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit as we move forward. But where'd the idea come from to film such a powerful documentary?
Well, you know, I've been telling this story for 17 years in churches and rehab centers and just prisons, It's because it's my story. It's a story of again, redemption, and the name of the title, The Price of Fame. And I don't want that to be misconstrued as to the price of fame or anything else is what you make it, because it's based on the decisions you make. But the documentary idea itself came from a guy who had Pete Fierro, who filmed all of this and edited it and really put it together. I probably met Pete, oh gosh, 5 or 6, 7 years ago. And he had a friend of his had asked him to do a shoot interview with me. And of course, shoot interview means, you know, talking real life and not wrestling storylines. And so you start talking to me about that, I'm going to start telling you about what God's done in my life, because that's such a big part of who I am now. And so in Pete's own words, he was the, he said, the backslidden son of a minister. And my story resonated with him. And anytime I came to the New York area, he would come and hear me. And so what he does for a living is he does wedding photography and video. So he does basically documents weddings, but he'd never done a movie or a documentary film. And he just come to me one day and he said, Ted, he says, you know, I know you've told your story and you've written a book about it. He says, I'd like to put it on film. And I said, well, okay, if you want to give it a shot, let's do it. Now, you know, I never envisioned that it would, you know, I thought, okay, this would be great. And, you know, he can do this thing and, you know, I can, you know, we can put it on DVDs and make it available, to people wherever I go and all that stuff. But I never envisioned a Fathom event in 700 theaters across the United States. And I'm still, I do know how that happened. My son, Ted Jr., you know, he's been in a movie and he's helped with other people in that do movies. And, he basically put it in the hands of some people who have helped promote some major, Christian movies. God's Not Dead, God's Not Dead 2, Fireproof, Blindside. And, I remember they told him when they got it that they were going to get back to him after Christmas, and they called him back the next day and they said, we want to do this. We want to help you guys get this out. And that's kind of how it happened. And so, you know, I'm, you know, right now I'm going crazy doing interviews just like the one I'm doing with you, trying to get the word out, because that date is the 7th of November. It's next Tuesday. And, it's honest.
Right. And Ted, with a lot of people in the wrestling business, especially over in the history of the sport, there's always been some sort of negativity attached to it, whether it's, you know, the steroid trial in the early 90s or the Attitude Era in, or whatever it may be. Did you ever feel that story of positivity and a story of in your case, redemption, feel lost in the business of wrestling? And was that ever something that you truly wanted to get out there?
Yeah. I mean, when I say I wanted to get it out there, I mean, you know, once I went through the experience that I went through, you know, yeah, that's why I've been telling that story for 17 years is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, and I mean, I'm a strong Christian. I'm a minister. I'm ordained. That's what I do now. But even if you don't believe in God, even if you're an atheist, I think if you watch this film, you're going to get an idea of what I'm trying to say. And basically, for me, the answer is Jesus Christ. But, you know, even if you don't believe that, you know, people chase after money. They chase after fame. They chase after success. And they think that if they have a big car and a fancy house and all the trimmings and trappings of wealth, that that's going to make them happy. Well, brother, I was there. I had all that. I climbed the top of my industry, and I was one of the top five guys in wrestling at a time when it was more popular than it was ever going to be. I was there. Not only was I there, I was riding around in Learjets and limousines, you know, because of this character Vince McMahon gave me. But when I called home and my wife confronted me with that fact that she had discovered that I was committing adultery and cheating on her, and that I was, you know, right in there with the rest of them. And I realized in a fraction of a second that I had put at risk the most important relationship in my life. I had put at risk the love and devotion of a committed wife, not to mention that that also puts at risk my children, their future, their stability, their peace of mind, and their well-being. And I had done all that not because I was unhappy, but because I was on this massive ego trip. And that's ugly. That's real ugly. And I had a very strong faith when I was young. And when I came back to that faith, that's what changed everything. That was a defining moment for me, if you will.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's truly like we said, we watched the documentary yesterday, and it's truly amazing to see how your, both of you and your wife's faith kind of justified how you guys still are in the most loving relationship to this day, and how, like, talk about how you that process in terms of how that ended up working out for you.
Well, I mean, you know, we unfortunately we live in a culture and a society today that wants instant gratification. And, you know, it's like they want everything and they want it now. So I kind of like McDonald's service, you know, you want, you know, okay, you know, like I don't want to, you know, put it in the microwave,
right.
And heat it up real quick. This was a process that took a couple of years. But I'll be honest, if my wife hadn't had the faith that she had at the time, and she hadn't been as grounded in her relationship with God as she was, I probably wouldn't be married today. Because after I laid myself at the mercy of the court, and I told Melanie, I said, I don't deserve you. I don't deserve you. And I said, if you leave, I get what I deserve. And she struggled with, I mean, as a Christian, she said, I'm called upon to forgive as I've been forgiven. And she says, I can do that. I just don't know if I'm strong enough to stay. I don't know if I, and she goes, and I'm not going to promise you anything. All she said was, I'll promise you this, I'll try.
Right.
And I took that ball and I ran with it. And so the next couple of years, I mean, it was 2 years of a woman trying to forget and a man trying to prove himself. But as my wife began to see the priorities in my life change from me, 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 Ted, 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 and wrestling, to, okay, God, you're number one, and family, you know, you're right behind God, and oh, my business, it comes in third now.
Right.
And when I did that, and when I began to serve my wife and serve my family and put their needs ahead of my own, everything in my life changed. The priorities in my life shifted dramatically. And so much so that I look back at that person I was and I go, wow, how did I ever get there? You know, who is that guy? Because I don't even identify with that anymore.
And we are talking to the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. The Price of Fame comes out Tuesday, November 7th, priceoffame.com. You can go over there for all your ticket times. You can watch the trailer to the documentary. All the information you need to know about where that documentary is showing next Tuesday night is over there at the priceoffame.com.
And Ted, shifting gears over into the actual filmmaking process, how much of a hand did you actually have in terms of, while it is a documentary, there's still creative, aspects of the film. Did you, or even your son being in a film prior, did you guys have a lot of hands-on interaction with the producers and the directors for this film?
Well, I mean, you know, the producer and the director basically was Peter Piero. Yes. I'm just telling you, Pete filmed this whole thing. And, of course, it's my story. It's like as Pete took the footage of, we went out to Arizona, the little town where I graduated high school, three traffic lights. You know, we went out and shot a lot of stuff there, and there's a lot of guys. I mean, oh my gosh, there's a lot of guys interviewed in this. I mean, Terry Funk and Harley Race and
Bruce Pritchard.
Pritchard and Roddy Piper, God rest his soul, and George Animal Steel are in this.
Right.
Jake Roberts, a lot of guys. And now, guys, and I've told my story. I've told my story 1,000 times. But when I sat down and watched my own story, and I saw the interviews that had been done with all of my contemporaries, I cried. It's like I had no idea that it would have that effect on me. But of course I had some input, it's my story, I'll be honest with you. I laid myself out there. I mean, I laid my life pretty bare. Here it is. One of the things that has upset me about a lot of wrestlers who write books is they take it upon themselves to use that book as a means to vent their anger and dissatisfaction with other people. The only thing that I did was I shared with the whole world my flaws, my weaknesses, and that I came to a place in a crossroads in my life where I chose to change that. And if I can do it, you can do it. That's what I want people to come away from this. You know, there's hope. You know, I call that hope Jesus Christ. That's what I believe wholeheartedly. But you know what? You keep getting back up. We're human. And because we're human, we're going to fail. We're going to fall from time to time. But you got to keep getting back up. You know, Jake Roberts. I've known Jake since the very beginning. I've been on my knees in hotel rooms with Jake, weeping with him, you know, long before he ever turned his life around. But I am so proud of the fact that he made it. I mean, we all thought Jake would be, you know, I mean, I kept waiting to pick up the paper and go, there he is, he's gone. But what a turnaround, man. He got back up. And, man, he was deep in it when he got back up. So, you know, that's something to be proud of. And, you know, and again, you know, anybody can do that. You have to have the will to do it. But again, what are your priorities? You know, it's kind of like, you amass a fortune and you work yourself to the bone. And, you got this great big mansion and you got all the cars and all the money you want. And in the process of doing that, life passes you by. You don't spend time with your wife. You don't spend time with your kids and your grandkids, and you die. So what was life about? Now that you're dead, somebody else is going to spend that money, live in your house, and drive your car. What good is it? That's the point. That's the point is, like, you know, there's more to life than all the stuff that so many men chase. Right. And the real I think irony of this story being told by me is that the character that I played for so many years is the composite opposite of what I'm saying right now.
Yeah, 100%. And the price of fame, it's a super powerful message. And as someone who spent a majority of their life in front of the TV cameras, was it watching as a fan growing up knowing who the Million Dollar Man was, and then seeing Ted Jr. talk to you about, you know, what happened that night when your wife found out, it was super awkward for me just sitting there. It was very uncomfortable. And that, like I said, as someone who spent their whole majority of their life in front of the cameras, was it awkward for you knowing that these intimate conversations were being filmed?
I won't say it was awkward because, you know, I knew when my son said to me, "Dad, let's," because he knows I emphasize when I speak to men the importance of fathers. You know, 35% of the children raised in the United States today don't have dads. And every child needs the affirmation of the father. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's a lot of super moms out there, single mothers that are raising kids. They shouldn't have to raise their kids by themselves, but it's because of a bunch of deadbeat dads. And so it's so important. The impact that my dad had on my life, that's what this story tells too. You know, I was raised by a stepfather. Mike DiBiase was not my biological father. He's my stepdad. But he was a good man. He was a good dad. And the impact he made on my life carried through it. And that at that time when I had been through all this hell, that self-created hell, you know, one of the things that hit me the most was when I realized how disappointed my dad would have been if he had seen the direction I took. And it was, you know. So my son, when he said, "Let's tell this through my eyes," I knew right then, because now my boys had heard me speak about it in church. They'd heard me share what we call a testimony. And I said, "Well, you know, if they have any more questions, they'll come and ask." And they never really did. But now, when you get down to, "We're going to tell this story," I knew the questions were going to come. And was it a little uncomfortable? Yeah, probably. But in the end, and when I saw the finished product, but going through that and those questions finally being asked of me, there was healing in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't want to hold you too much longer, but real quick, just because, you know, our fans do want to know about, you know, obviously they want to hear about Ted DiBiase as the wrestler. What portion in your career do you think you had the most fun performing? And what was, like, the most favorite thing that you were involved in and that you did?
I guess, you know, in the 19 years of a career, it's hard to pick it. It's hard to pick one thing or one time. But, I mean, I'll be honest. I think, you know, the days when I was in Mid-South, right before going to WWE, like when I turned heel and I had the big run here with Junkyard Dog, right. And then I turned to babyface again, and Bill Watts teamed me up with Steve Williams, and we had a run as a tag team together. I had a lot of fun then. Now, the WWF, I mean, yeah, I had a lot of fun there. I mean, I think that whole first year was unbelievable. I mean, WrestleMania 4, I turned Randy Savage had been a heel for ever since he'd been here, and then I turned him babyface overnight.
Right.
With WrestleMania 4, and then traveling all over the country and having Andre as a partner was phenomenal. Just I loved every minute of it. That first year was a lot of fun.
And we are on the line with Ted DiBiase talking about the Price of Fame. Theprifeoffame.com is the website. Ted is on social media at MDM Ted DiBiase on Twitter. Ted, one more question, and then we're just going to ask you to hang on the line while we go to break. What are you hoping for the audiences to take out of this film?
I think I said it, you know, that irregardless of who you are or what you believe, you know, whether you believe in God or you don't, that there is hope. that no matter what you go through, no matter what life throws at you, if you're willing to get back up after you fall, then you can. And the only one stopping you is you. You know, and don't let fear get in the way. I took my family through hell. I mean, I caused some pain, and I had to face that. I had to face the reality of that. And the other thing is again, wanting especially guys to understand something. You know, because so many men evaluate their masculinity by, you know, how much money they make, what they drive, how big their house is. Everybody's comparing everything to everything. And this whole thing about, well, you know, being famous, like, that's really cool. And it's not. None of it is what you think it is. None of that. You know, I've been to the top of that mountain. And in a fraction of a second, realized that I would give all of that up to have the respect and love of my wife and my children.
Super powerful.
Absolutely.
Super powerful. Ted, it's been a pleasure. We're just going to ask you to hang on the line. Again, The Price of Fame is going to go in theaters worldwide, over 700 screens.
That's awesome.
Next Tuesday, November 7th, go to priceoffame.com to get all your ticket times, or ticket times, show times, and tickets.
Ticket prices.
And again, give Ted a follow at MDM Ted DiBiase on Twitter. He also has a Facebook, facebook.com/MDM Ted DiBiase. And if you enjoy the film, check out Peter. He's got a Twitter at Peter Ferrara. We'll post all that stuff up on our social media when we're done with this. Ted, it's been a pleasure. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back, gang.
Here's a chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you like wrestling videos, visit ShiningWizards.com and click the IVP Videos banner. It's not going to cost you anything extra to buy through us, but a small percentage of your purchase will support the show. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them for all the great Zubaz collection at Zubaz.com. The High Spots Wrestling Network provides over 2,000 hours every month of high-quality entertainment. Visit HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com, type in the code WIZARDS, and you'll receive your first month free of charge. If Lucha Crates are your thing, visit LuchaLoot.com and enter the code WIZARDS for 10% off any purchase of a Lucha Crate. If you like Lucha merchandise, visit LuchaShop.com, put in WIZARDS at checkout, and again, you'll save 10%. Bottom Line Merch, cutting-edge merchandise from today's biggest and brightest wrestlers. Visit BottomLineMerch.com and begin shopping today. Support those who support us, and we all can support each other. Thanks for shopping with the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
Is that chicken I smell? I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political dumb fuckery.
I haven't played this bad since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Dave Destruction Sturgio, and I'm here to talk to you about Destruction 101. It's a brand new podcast hosted by yours truly, Dave Destruction, exclusively every Wednesday night on the Shining Wizards Network and iTunes. Come join me as I explore the world of professional wrestling, professional sports, a little bit of MMA, and just a little bit of advice every week to get you through yours. I'll see you every Wednesday night, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, we are back. Sorry about the dead air. We had to talk a little business with Mr. DiBiase because, as you know, everything has a price.
That's right.
Again, the price of fame coming out Tuesday night, November 7th. Go to priceoffame.com for all your show times and ticket information. Here's what I would do. You go next Tuesday, right? You see the price of fame, right? Make sure it's like a 7 o'clock showing.
I think there's a showing in Paramus.
There's one in Wayne and I believe East Hanover, too, I thought I saw online.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
Those things are I knew the East Hanover Theater was still there. I didn't realize the Wayne Theater was still there.
Yes, I believe that's what I saw when I went to the website.
Well, I'm thinking Cedar Grove. Is the Cedar Grove Theater still there?
No, I drove by it the other night. It's gone. It gone.
It gone.
Here's what you do. You go see the Price of Fame at like 7 o'clock, right? It's like an hour and 45 minutes. Boom, puts you at 8:45.
Great film.
You know, you listen to the last 15, 20 minutes of The Shining Wizards on your way home.
That's right.
Then you wait for us to post the episode. Like 9:30, it comes out. Joe Gacy is going to be in studio next week.
What?
From CZW. So you're going to listen to that. Then 10 o'clock, boom, Ric Flair, 30 for 30.
Oh, shiza.
Then you pick up The Shining Wizards podcast where you left off with Joe Gacy in studio from CZW, former CZW heavyweight champion. And then you have had a full Tuesday. And if you want to sprinkle in some SmackDown on the DVR, by all means, do that.
Feel free to do it.
But make it a full wrestling Tuesday.
I could not agree more with that plan.
All right. See, look, we have a game plan.
That is a game plan. Joey Gacy in studio next week. Eh?
Joe Gacy coming to Studio B.
That's
CZW,
right.
CZW, former CZW champion. Talking Night of Infamy, I believe, is the next CZW show coming
up. Sounds right.
November 11th. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and some other stuff. We'll see what comes up.
It's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
It is. It is indeed. So let's do. I would like to do a quick rundown of the stuff that happened last week between you. The last time you heard Angry Matt and the other Shining Wizards and today.
All right.
So just a quick rundown. We left last week talking about Monday Night Raw and the invasion angle. And what we saw on SmackDown was zero retaliation.
Boo!
From Monday Night Raw. And if you're listening to us, we're talking about SmackDown from the 24th. We're not talking about SmackDown that's airing on Halloween right
now. Last week. We're a week behind.
So we're just catching up. And we don't watch, for some ungodly reason, we don't watch TV at Tony's. I don't know why. I don't know if he pays his cable bill. I don't know what his story is.
No. Foolishness.
A couple things to take away from SmackDown last week. Gable and Shelton Benjamin beat the New Day.
My man, Shelton Benjamin.
So it looks like they're setting them up to go against the Usos.
I like it.
You like that? I know you would.
I'm a Benjamin guy, brother.
Sin Cara beat Baron Corbin by DQ.
How about that? How about that push for Sin Cara? I read via PW Insider that they're looking to give him a little bit of a go now.
Again, didn't Baron Corbin and Sin Cara have like a feud, a tables match at like TLC or Extreme Rules?
No.
They didn't have a chairs match?
Sin Cara?
Sin Cara and Baron Corbin.
Wait, how long ago? Like not this past TLC?
No, I meant the Extreme Rules maybe. Within the last year, I'm going to say Baron Corbin had a feud with Sin Cara and some steel chairs.
I'm going to call shenanigans on that.
All right. Well, you can look that up if you want to. I'm pretty sure they worked some kind of feud and they had...
They probably did, but I don't know if it was on a... I don't know if that was a pay-per-view match, maybe pre-show.
They had some kind of chairs match or some goofiness.
Listen, I could be... I'm probably wrong.
AJ Styles looks like he's set up to go against Jinder Mahal, and they're just killing time in between now and Survivor Series.
I love that. Killing time with the two champions going against each other. Well, that's what it is.
Well, they're giving AJ something to do, and he's beating the Singh brothers week after week. They had a match where Becky Lynch won, and she will now captain the women's Survivor Series team.
That's right.
For SmackDown. And then Randy Orton beat Sami Zayn to earn a spot on the SmackDown men's division roster. Kevin Owens came out and he tried to distract the referee, and it backfired as Orton low blowed Sami Zayn. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight on SmackDown. Kevin Owens takes on Shinsuke in a Survivor Series qualifying match. Plus Bobby Roode faces Dolph Ziggler in a 2 out of 3 falls match, which will tell us who qualifies for the Survivor Series team, and AJ's going to beat up one of the Singh brothers.
Did you see the tweet that Kurt Angle put out where he just said who is his first guy is going to be?
Is it Jason Jordan?
No, it's like Braun Strowman's my first guy. Why do you have to have like match? Like if you're the captain of the team, why don't you just pick who you think is going to fucking tear shit up and just pick them? I get it. It's a way to fill time for a TV show. But, like, why don't you just be like, hey, I like you, I like you. Like, I don't need to, like, have people compete for my, like, affection.
Because I think Raw has so many other stories going on right now and different angles that they're working. SmackDown is just kind of treading water until we get to, George Springer, solo home run, Survivor Series.
Oh.
So, like, your U.S. champion is Baron Corbin. He's on SmackDown. He's going up against The Miz, which we will get into. The Usos are taking on Ambrose and Rollins. Jinder against Brock. Holy God, I forgot his name. And Natty against Alexa. So all your major titles are all tied up. And there's Raw, there's a little more going on where they kind of have filler and they have a bigger roster. And SmackDown has just what you see. So it's the wrestling show, and they have to make do with what they have. Shinsuke's not doing anything. The Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn thing with Shane McMahon, it was kind of brought to light last week, but they really didn't make anything of it. Shane came back. It wasn't like he was selling his injuries, and it was more or less he's going to be a thorn in the side for the two of them, even though they want to represent Team SmackDown. And they did the whole SmackDown invading Raw angle as well.
Right.
So there isn't much going on SmackDown. So they're in that position where these guys have to fight to earn a spot on said team. No point. You can't be, you know, the number one contender to the U.S. Championship if Baron Corbin's going to fight The Miz at Survivor Series, and that's the main story they're going with right there. Because you're just background noise at that point, right?
I think everything is background noise at this point. But anyway, there was no Extreme Rules match between Baron Corbin and Sin Cara.
There was never a chairs match?
No, not at
Extreme. Oh, I'm thinking Kalisto. That's who I'm thinking.
Fucking you racist bastard.
No, I'm not racist. It just falls into the category of Kalisto and Sin Cara are just two dudes in masks that pretty much do the same thing.
Botch promos.
They pretty much do the same thing. Kalisto. Someone has been yelling at their listening device when they listen back to this going, it's Kalisto, stupid. It was Kalisto. It wasn't Sin Cara.
Listen, I didn't know either. I knew what it wasn't. I just didn't know what it was.
Fair enough. Takeover, NXT Takeover continues to work towards.
God, I keep forgetting about NXT.
Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
They continue.
Oh, also, my laptop has AIDS.
Oh, so. That's right. Kevin's laptop has AIDS. So. Continue to work towards War Games, and they are doing fantastic stuff with Cien Almas.
Okay.
And the way they're just building. Drew McIntyre keeps getting confronted by, what's her name?
Thea Trinidad.
Yes, Zelina Vega. And Drew McIntyre keeps saying the same thing. If he wants a shot at my title, he can come ask for it. Because she keeps, like, goading him into it.
Is that going to be the title match at TakeOver?
Yes. Right. Well, they are doing that show in San Antonio the night before, where it's Adam Cole against Drew with Shawn Michaels as a special guest referee.
That's not TakeOver?
No, that's the night before in San Antonio.
What's up with that?
What's up with that? So I don't think they're going to throw a huge curveball like that right before. They could.
Do you think Adam Cole's going to be a top guy in NXT?
Absolutely. 100%.
But now they're doing the thing with him and Roderick Strong, right?
Well, you see on this latest episode of NXT where they invited Roderick Strong to join the Undisputed Era.
Right. Interesting.
Roddy's not having it.
Roddy Strong like dwarfs Adam Cole in size, doesn't he?
No, they're kind of both the same build.
Adam Cole's kind of a little guy.
No, I don't think he is. Adam Cole's a superstar, bro.
No, he's a superstar, but he's kind of a little guy.
I don't think he's a tiny guy.
Kind of a little guy.
Nikki Cross won a battle royal to earn the final spot in the NXT Women's Championship match at TakeOver.
Lay that on me. Who are the four?
It's her.
Ember.
Ember Moon.
Kairi Sane.
Yep. And
Peyton Royce.
Yes, Peyton Royce. Thank you. And you saw in this battle royal a lot of the women that you saw at the Mae Young Classic.
Nudie Bar.
Vanessa Bourne, Bianca Belair, Sage Beckett, Mercedes Martinez, Candice LeRae, Billie Kay, Rhea Ripley.
Believe it or not.
I'm walking on air. Santana Garrett
was
there.
Come on, Ripley, believe it. You totally fucking tried to hijack the fucking joke. Asshole.
It was a full house, but Nikki Cross, she got the win, so she's in the four-way. What else?
So Ruby Riott's not?
Nope. She lost the three-way dance last week between her and Ember Moon and the MMA chick from Jersey.
The Jersey Devil. That's right. Why? Who do you think is winning that?
Ember Moon.
Yeah, all right.
Her or Kairi Sane?
Strap the rocket to her?
I feel like it's going to be Ember Moon, though.
It's got to be Ember Moon. She was the Asuka was the placeholder. That was totally condescending.
Wow, really, Kevin?
No.
Placeholder.
Not placeholder, but Ember Moon was like their character. As soon as Asuka would move up, it's going to be Ember Moon. What, wasn't?
Placeholder?
A placeholder was a bad word. I Ubered here. I've been having a good day.
Oh, is that why your ETA was late?
Huh? Well, listen, I get my Uber, right? She picks me up, and then the news is on, right? She's listening to the news. And she's taking notes on the fucking news while we're sitting in the parking spot. And I'm like, I'm just sitting in the back. It's a good, like, 3 minutes. Now count 3 minutes in your fucking head. It's a long-ass time. And I'm just like, all right, I kind of have to be somewhere. Can we
get this dog and pony show on the road?
And she's like, hang tight for a second. I'm like, hang tight for a second, which I kind of admired because I always say hang tight. So, but like, oof, 8:07, I think was my exact arrival.
Yeah, it worked out. Yeah. It worked out because it took me forever to get out of Summit because Summit, kids actually still trick or treat. So,
dude, West Orange was a ghost town, at least my street.
They do all that goofy trunk and treat shit, like I said before. Because people are afraid, like, I don't know, kids are going to get LSD or the marijuana cookies.
Oh, so the trunk and treat shit is when people that know each other gather and
like,
the kids just go.
Like someone in like the third grade class or at like a middle school will be like, all right, who wants to do trunk and treat? And they'll just fill like a parking lot with cars. And then all the kids just go car to car and get candy out of everyone's trunk. And everyone's trunk has like a Halloween theme.
From people that they know. So they're not going to strangers' houses.
Right.
That's a good idea.
Come on. You went trick-or-treating at strangers' houses. You're
of
okay?
Of course I did. Well, jury's still out.
You never got your molested or razor blade or anything. All you got was stupid pennies for UNICEF.
That's true.
Stupid UNICEF.
God, remember that shit?
Ugh, little fucking do I ever.
Cardboard little fucking box.
Let's get through TakeOver or NXT really fast. Velveteen Dream, he attacked Aleister Black again before Aleister Black was going to destroy a jobber. So they're really building to this match that's going to take place at TakeOver.
Very interested in this feud.
No, you're not into it? I think it's going to be an awesome match.
It's going to be a good match.
I think Aleister Black has it.
Oh, he does have it. And I think Patrick Clark had it until they gave him Orlando Jordan's gimmick.
The Velveteen Dream. And then Cena almost defeated Roderick Strong in an excellent match.
No shot.
Excellent.
You can tell me any match in NXT is good and I'll believe you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And after the match, Vega went to the announcer's table and she stole Mauro's headset and challenged McIntyre.
And then she challenged Zangief and E-Honda to a handicap match and she beat them both.
To meet face-to-face. And then as soon as that was done, the Undisputed Era hit the ring and that they offered him a spot. And Strong told him he's not a loser and he doesn't need to join the Undisputed Era. Or no, I'm sorry. Cole told Strong he's a loser. He's not a loser and he needs to join. Cole handed Strong a wristband, which Strong took, but didn't put on as the show ended. So
I think he joins.
You think so?
Maybe. I mean, why not? You got to have. I feel like they're building towards this like stable of guys. NXT needs like a good like legit like stable.
They have Sanity and they have these guys.
Yeah, but like a beefy like NWO like type deal. I'm hankering for an NWO stable.
All right, well, you can hanker all you'd like.
Got a hankering.
Impact.
You don't hanker ever?
I don't hanker for...
You don't have a hank... You never have a hankering.
I think I have a craving.
A yearning? Do you yearn?
Sometimes.
Sometimes you yearn.
Usually it's a craving, though.
I got a hankering.
Like, I could crave some, like, stunning Steve Austin matches.
Okay. Like, today?
Yes.
Like, if say, like, at WrestleMania 35 or whatever we're up to now.
35.
35.
That's where we're going.
What if, like, instead of the glass shattering, like, as a surprise, you just hear stunning Steve Austin's music and he just comes out?
I don't think that hair's ever grown back, bro.
No, just bald stunning Steve.
No.
With the robe, shaves the goatee. With the robe, he has a glass of champagne instead of a Steve Weiser. Would you wouldn't yearn for that?
No.
I'd hanker for that.
All right.
I'm hankering.
Were you yearning or hankering for Impact last week? Kevin almost spit his twisted tea all over my couch.
Because I knew exactly where you were going.
And it almost came out his nose, which is one of the worst things ever.
I am intrigued by Impact. Like, that's like the word that will never go away when it comes to Impact, is intrigued.
I'll tell you what, they did something super different last week.
Well, and that's going to be the norm going forward.
They're going to be doing the International Impact or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, they're going to subsidize a lot of their shit by not bringing in as many regular Impact guys and using local talent for their TV shows and using other people's live events for shows.
I mean, if you get lemons, you might as well make lemonade. It wasn't bad. It was enjoyable.
Was it? I didn't watch it.
I think the part that I enjoyed the most was it was very different. Because you're seeing matches from AAA, you're seeing matches from BCW Canada. You saw the GHC Heavyweight Championship match from Pro Wrestling Noah. You saw another BCW match, and they sprinkled in some stuff from the Impact Zone.
You know what? Just reading it, kind of like in my head, kind of reminds me of like when you watched, like, I don't know,
Super Tape
or like Primetime Wrestling. And, like, each match was somewhere else. And you had, there were squash matches or whatever, but each match was from a different area. And you're like, all right. And you didn't pay any attention to it then. So, like, you just went with the flow. So it's kind of cool. I wish maybe I will try to find this episode and check it out. Or I'll watch. This Thursday's Jets Bills, so I'm not going to watch Impact on
this Thursday's the go home to Bound for Glory, bro.
That's true. But I'm not going to watch it.
All right.
Jets Bills.
Set your DVR.
I don't have a DVR.
What do you live in a fucking cave, bro?
I do. I don't have a DVR.
Quick show recap from Impact. A couple things. EC3 and James Storm beat El Hijo del Fantasma and Texano in a match from AAA, which was filmed at Triple Mania.
Yes. And I just realized that the mask that I got from that Lucha Crate is an Hijo del Fantasma mask.
Oh, nice. Very nice. The Impact Tag Champions OVE beat Phil Atlas and Brett Banks.
Ooh.
Brett Banks is a friend from Smash Wrestling.
Love Smash.
Up there in Canada. Eddie Edwards defeated Marufuji in a match from Pro Wrestling Noah. Great stiff Noah style match. No, not boner.
Boner!
OVE is bringing back up to Bound for Glory to even the odds with LAX in their 51-50 street fight. So look out for that. Bound for Glory coming this Sunday. Check your local operating systems to see where you can order that.
That's right.
I don't know. Petey Williams won a four-way with Abraham. Tarek, also a Smash member person, Smash wrestling person, and some Asian dude. Kaito Kayamaya.
Dude, this is fucking
Kayamaya?
The results that I printed up. I forget which website I got it from. It says it's a four-way between Petey Williams, Abraham, and two other guys.
Oh, man. That's cold.
That's fucking cold, bro.
Good match. And anytime you can see a Petey Williams Canadian Destroyer, it's a win for me.
Anytime you can see a Canadian Destroyer actually result in a pinfall is a win for me.
Oh, hot takes with Kevin Garifo. What else? Johnny Impact and Garza Jr. defeated Eli Drake and Chris Adonis in a match from the Impact Zone. And Adonis accidentally hit Drake, and Impact rolled up Adonis for the win. So they're still going with that. Johnny Impact and the Eli Drake thing, heading into Bound for Glory.
It's fine. I think Eli Drake's amazing.
I think Eli Drake's great.
And I've been saying it forever.
You have. You've been a big fan of Eli Drake. And anybody else.
And he'll be making his WrestlePro debut on December 9th, which will be also a Impact One Night Only pay-per-view taping.
Oh, is that a spoiler?
Not a spoiler.
All right. I don't know. I'm not on fucking social media like you are all day. I have a job.
I have a job?
Yeah. His job is looking at your phone.
No, I can't. I have no Wi-Fi at the headquarters.
No Wi-Fi?
No.
At the headquarters. Ixnay on the headquarter, eh?
Well, I didn't say what headquarters.
It could be meant. There's many headquarters.
A lot of different headquarters.
And for those of you not on the Eli Drake train.
Dummy. Yeah.
There you go. What else? Trevor Lee defended X Division Championship against Ultima Ninja in a match from The Crash in Tijuana, Mexico. And then in a match that probably nobody really cared about, Moose beat Bobby Lashley.
Wow.
I mean, come on. Look.
You thought I was fucking casting shade?
The whole, like,
top shelf.
American top team.
Top
team.
What did I say? Top shelf?
Yeah, like Moose and, like, Stefan Bonner. Like, Moose is a great guy. He's been on the show before. I've met him in person. He's super nice. Bobby Lashley. Everyone knows where I stand with Bobby Lashley. I think he's a punk, and I think he keeps dodging me. And if I wasn't working during WrestlePro, I would have gone and not said a word to him because I'm a pussy. But that's a whole nother subject for a whole nother podcast. I can't get into it. Lashley's done at Impact. He's done. Like, he's out. He's going to focus on his MMA career.
Is he?
All this stuff is pre-taped. Like, so Bound for Glory will probably be the last time you see Lashley at Impact. I don't know. Just trying to bring, like, King Mo back and Stefan Bonner. Like, like, that's how I feel about it.
Oh, no, I agree. The whole MMA thing is weird for me because I'm not a fan of – I mean, it's not that I'm not a fan of the sport. I just don't watch it. So, like, Stefan Bonner is probably the last MMA guy that I followed, other than, obviously, Brock, or guys like that. But I did watch that. He was the first season of
Ultimate Fighter.
Ultimate Fighter.
Yes.
So I did watch that, and that was a fun show.
That was a great show. The first season was great.
And that was Forrest Griffin, too, right?
Yes. They had that awesome match at the season finale.
Hope I didn't spoil that. I read that on.
That was like 20 years ago.
I read that. I didn't get it from. I got it from a sheet, for lack of a better term.
Oh, you're still worried. Oh boy, you're worried about that, huh?
I kind of am, but
dude. Oh, you.
I didn't get it from any like source. I got it from a website.
I said what?
And
she said,
told
yeah.
you to go to WrestlePro.online.com for tickets.
Okay, then that's where you got it from.
I'm good.
Don't, Jesus. Kevin's going to have a nervous breakdown.
I would have a nervous breakdown.
Kevin, I got to take a pee really fast. In 8 minutes, Jack Victory is going to call us. You got any news or notes you want to talk about? Because I feel like Raw is going to take up a little bit of time after we talk to Jack Victory about Fundraiser Wrestling, which is taking place this Saturday. No, not this Saturday. Excuse me.
The 11th?
Rude of me. Yes, Saturday, November 11th at the Bergen County Community College, the Bergen Community College Gym, 400 Paramus Road, Paramus.
I did comedy there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, not at the gym, at a theater at Bergen County Community College.
So Jack joining us in a couple minutes. If you want to start some news notes, I got to pee really fast.
It was actually an honor society at the Bergen County Community College, so sometimes the jokes just write themselves. So there's that. Touch on some things that I found interesting over the weekend. And one of them obviously has been stirring around is the releases that have happened. Of course, most notably Emma and the situations with her. Obviously, Darren Young has been released as well, along with Summer Rae. It's unfortunate to see a guy like Darren Young go and Emma go and even Summer Rae go, because I thought they all had something to offer. But when Darren Young... the whole make Darren Young great again thing kind of never really took off all that well. And then he couldn't stay healthy. I guess the writing was kind of on the wall for him. But the biggest story over the weekend in terms of the releases is a tweet that was made by a guy who I actually like and was a little surprised to see it was Leo Rush, who said, I guess that's what happens when you're – did you see this, Matt? When you're not ready for Asuka. And that was not taken too kindly by his, I guess, elder statesmen or the veterans of NXT and WWE. More specifically, Bray Wyatt, Peyton Royce, who said, I guess, are you serious? Didn't you just get here, kid? Like, professionalism goes a long way, and Bray Wyatt chimed in. And then he apologized, and people weren't happy with his apology because he was apologizing that people didn't take his tweet the right way as opposed to apologizing for the tweet itself, which is always a cop-out. Not actually apologizing for what you said, apologizing that it was taken the wrong way or out of context. That's always a cop-out, in my opinion, which is unfortunate because I actually do like Lio Rush. So from what I understand now, after that, that has kind of blown over, and I think all is kind of usual at the Performance Center from what I've read. So he's 22 years old, if you want to throw that out there.
Hey, look, you got to – you have done whatever – you've done to get to where you are. He's an amazingly talented kid. Anyone who's ever seen
a lot of people don't think so. Not a lot, but I've seen the haters on there.
There's always going to be haters. Yeah. There's always going to be haters. And those are the same people that don't, you know, those are the same people that spend 3 weeks putting out a Halloween costume but can't pay their fucking electricity bill.
There it is.
You just got to know better. Like, and, if you look, he's a professional wrestler. He's not a comedian. He doesn't need the likes. He doesn't need the attention. If you want to make jokes inside your little circle, oh, look at that. Jack Victory.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is a man known well.
Yes.
To many in the wrestling business and fans of wrestling, especially if you were a fan of ECW and the Sheep Herders. I will always remember him for High Spot, our friend Jack Victory. How are you tonight, sir?
Good, buddy. How are you?
We are great. We are great. And we are talking.
I'm just wondering how you knew it was me calling in.
Well, we didn't have anybody else calling at 9:30.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay. We're actually psychics as well. On that note, so throwing that out there.
Yes.
Side jobs.
You will find your bike in the basement of the Alamo. Come on, Pee Wee Herman reference.
I got it. Tell them Large Marge sent you.
Jack Victory joining us tonight talking about fundraiser wrestling taking place Saturday, November 11th. Jack, we're new friends of fundraiser wrestling, but we understand their main goal here. Have you worked with the gentleman from fundraiser wrestling before?
I actually haven't worked a match. I know those guys from many, many years ago. They're great guys. They came up with this concept a couple years ago, they've been hitting home runs ever since they started. You know, putting money in, in great charities' pockets. They're doing really well, so I'm excited. I'm very excited to come up to my home state and check things out.
Yeah, and it should be a good time. November 11th, the Fundraiser Wrestling guys are putting on this show. It's the third annual benefit for the Bergen Community College Student Veteran Emergency Fund, and this will be held on Veterans Day. And where else can you get out and see the likes of Jack Victory? He's on the line with us. Tommy Dreamer, C.W. Anderson, Nunzio. It's almost like an ECW reunion of some sorts. Do you get the opportunity to see these guys, or are you working as much as you would like to?
No, well, to be honest with you, I haven't put boots on in probably 5 years. So no, I mean it's all to come see some friends, see family. My mom is actually driving up from Toms River area to come see me. It's just. When the opportunity came available, I jumped all over it. Very excited to come and hang out in Jersey for a couple days and raise some hell.
Now, you talk about not dusting off the boots in 5 years, but have you been doing the conventions and stuff like that?
I see Carino probably 3 or 4 times a month. I'm actually coming. He's doing a show in Jacksonville this Friday with NXT. So I get to see Stevie on a regular basis. He is one of the trainers and also does the booking and all that stuff for shows and stuff like that. So I do get to see Steve. I see CW once or twice a year. We go and play golf together. But I really don't do shows very often.
How's the golf game?
Oh, God. It's fun. It's fun. Let's put it that way.
Fair enough. I can't play golf for the life of me, so.
Yeah, neither. Ditto.
Ditto?
Ditto. I've never swung a golf club in my life.
You mentioned Steve Carino and your relationship. I mean, how important was that to you, especially since you'd been in wrestling, Jesus, at least 20 yeah. years by the time you guys met up in ECW. I mean, anytime you saw Jack Victory and Steve Carino on TV, you guys looked like you were just having fun. How important?
Oh my God, he's a blast. One of the best guys on the microphone. You know, he is something that I've never was able to conquer on the mic. He is just downright funny. We did some promos when we were in ECW that just made people laugh. It was a really good time when we were in ECW. He's doing really fantastic, you know, and he deserves every bit of it. You know, he's a hardworking kid. I'm just so happy for him, you know, and I'm just glad that he's, you know, right in Orlando. I'm in Jacksonville. That's where I'm living now. And, he's in Orlando. So we get to see, each other, you know, like I said, 2 or 3 times a month, which is nice.
Absolutely. And a lot of people consider his new role with NXT long overdue. And especially now, his knowledge is probably invaluable to all the people at the Performance Center. Is that a role that you ever thought about having, or have you done any training or at least any seminars or speaking engagements?
I was a guest trainer. One of the guys had a vacation, and I went down there as a guest trainer, and I had a blast. You know, it was a week of so much fun. And, you know, just so much. I mean, I was just in awe and jealous of the place down there. It's just unbelievable what these guys walk into to do every day. You know, it's something that we've never, you know, you can only think about it back in the day if we had a place like that. But, you know, with all the territories that we, you know, had, it would have never worked back then. You know, now that there's, you know, 1 or 2 places you can actually go and make a living, they were able to settle down and make this place. And, the Performance Center is unbelievable. So I went down probably, I think it was a couple months ago, and, did a week of training with the guys, and, it was a blast. These kids can out wrestle me tenfold. You know, unbelievable trainers, unbelievable place. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the inside of this place, but the weight room is, you know, unbelievable. It's unbelievable how these people, how these guys and girls, because there's almost as many girls as there is guys at the Performance Center. So much talent. Wrestling is in good hands right now.
Absolutely. And of course, we are joined by our special guest at this time, Jack Victory, Fundraiser Wrestling this Saturday, November 11th. A salute to our veterans, the Bergen County College Community College Gym.
400 Paramus Road in Paramus, New Jersey. And you just brought up something to me that, that struck a chord, and that is the amount of women that are now not only in the business but in the pipeline for the business. Is that something that you ever foresaw in your tenure, in your career in wrestling?
Never in my wildest dreams. I mean, when me and John Tatum wrestled and we had Missy as our valet, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that there's enough talent that they can do. I mean, they can run their own shows. They don't even need the guys. I mean, these girls are talented. I mean, they're squatting, you know, 250 pounds. It's amazing. It's amazing what it's become. It's not glow wrestling anymore. You know what I mean? Back in the day, where it was a mockery. These girls are very, very talented.
And you mentioned John Tatum, and those not familiar, you and John were a tag team back in the UWF with Missy as a manager. Talk about your time with Eddie Gilbert, because I feel like in this day and age, Eddie Gilbert is one of those guys that if you're a young wrestler, you need to watch some Eddie Gilbert matches, his promos. He had a mind for the business, and I know Paul E. talks about it in his WWE documentary and his involvement in ECW. I mean, what was it like for you, new in the business, to be working around Eddie Gilbert?
Well, did you have Teddy on before me?
Yes.
He did. I probably wouldn't be talking to you guys right now if it wasn't for Ted DiBiase. He was one of the guys when I started back in the 80s with Bill Watts that would actually come out. He would come out of the dressing room and watch my match and sit me down and tell me, what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong. Just an awesome human being. Like I said, I probably wouldn't be talking to you guys right now if it wasn't for him coming out and telling me. But hot stuff. What can I say about him? He was unbelievable. Mastermind. It was just an honor to be a friend, a wrestler around him. He'd always bring the best out of you. It's a shame that he left us so early, because I can vision him right now throwing that pen around still to this day. Very, 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 very smart to the business.
Yeah, and I think he deserves his place, and I know the WWE Hall of Fame is usually politicked up, or they have a reason and a rhyme for everything, but I think Eddie Gilbert is somebody who definitely belongs in there, and he deserves to get his place in the sun, because he is a huge, huge part of the wrestling industry. Talking of ECW, I do have a funny Jack Victory story. I was 15, 16 years old, and the WWF product wasn't doing it for me, so I found ECW, and I instantly became a Mark piece of shit ECW fan. And if you're an ECW fan, I don't think you're offended by that, because ECW fans were relentless. And I was about 18 years old, and we were at the Asbury Park Convention Center and Convention Hall, and here comes Jack Victory, and I'm ringside, and I just start just screaming at Jack, and me and you are face to face, and you are just ripping into me. It's a memory that I will forever have
is there footage of that?
I don't know if there's footage of that, but it was. That and I was at a house show, and New Jack hit somebody with a weapon, and he it was soft, and I was like, "Yo, New Jack, that was weak." And he's like, "Yo, mama weak." But Yeah, it was one of my fondest memories of ECW was just Jack John with Jack Victory. I mean, you did Jim Crockett, you did UWF, you did World Class Championship Wrestling. I mean, you can't really compare those to ECW, can you? I mean, ECW was on a whole nother level.
No, you're absolutely right. It was totally, boy, I'll tell you, you had to show up every night, because you were definitely going to be in for a fight. You know what I mean? My cat was okay. Never mind.
Cat, yeah, Victory.
My cat was attacking my dog. That was kind of quite funny. Anyway, let me get back to I mean, ECW just a different breed. You know, it was just not that I've had scaffold matches. I've had all kinds of matches with Crockett's and all that stuff. I've had some, you know, I was a Russian assassin with the Koloffs and had chain matches and stuff like that. But ECW, you had a fight from the opening bell to the main event. I mean, it was a fight every night. With other wrestlers, the fans going to the bar and fighting out of the bars. I mean, we had a riot in the middle of the streets in L.A., you know, on one pay-per-view. I mean, there was a lot of fighting in ECW.
I mean, it fits. I mean, if you wanted to, I don't know, as a fan, if you were on the fence of, like, is it real or is it choreographed or, dare I say, the F-word fake, I mean, you end up in a bar with some of you guys from ECW and you start Jack John, there's a good chance you're getting put on your ass.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun bar fights. I mean, I've probably been, oh God, probably in about 25 bar fights. And, you know, in my day, I've been doing it since, you know, 82. So I've been in some bar fights, some really, really good ones.
Do you have a favorite?
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
You can't do bar fights anymore.
Everything's, you know, a little bit corporate now.
And PC. Everyone's very, very PC about
everything. Everyone's got access to everything. So you get into a bar fight, your boss is going to find out about it one way or the other.
Yeah. There's social media now, you know. Yeah. The bar fights back in the day, you know, Grizzly Smith would grab me, throw me in the back of a car and drive me away. You know what I mean? It was like those type of bar fights. Okay, you know,
get out.
The fun bar fights where no one ever never knew about them.
Now, you mentioned scaffold matches, and I've been watching a lot of old NWA and WCW. Is that one of the worst matches you could ever be booked in? Because it seems
they're not fun. They really aren't. You know, I'm scared. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm scared of heights. And, you know, the only way you lose the match is you're getting thrown off the scaffold, you know. Thank God Angel of Death, which was my Russian assassin partner, he was doing scaffold matches before I actually got before I even came to WCW and did the Russian assassin number two gimmick. With him, he was falling left and right during Starcades and stuff like that. And I came in, I did a couple in the very end of it, but he was tortured every night. And you know, by the end of the scaffolds, he was like hanging from his arms and dangling, where he only had to fall like 15 feet instead of, you know, the full 20-25 feet, which was quite funny.
Yeah, it seems like I always want to ask if it's a rib, because it seems like every person that you talk to that has ever been in a scaffold match was terrified of heights.
Well, they did one in ECW that I was not involved with. I wasn't even in ECW, but I saw that Sandman made it. You know, he was a construction dude, and he made it, and it was dangling from the – did you guys happen to see that scaffold that he made?
The Tommy Dreamer Brian Lee, where the whole thing just swayed back and forth?
So Sandman was the brain surgeon behind that, and he's the one that made it in the ECW arena. And I look at tapes and I just shake my head on that one. It was they're dangling from the rafters. I mean, there was no side trussles or anything. You know, it was just dangling from chain, and it looked like something that I definitely wouldn't have tried.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have gone up there. I mean, first of all, you know, the Sandman has a reputation of enjoying his Budweisers.
Love it.
I don't know.
Love it.
I mean, I can't build anything for shit. I've built some pretty crooked cabinets in my time. The scaffold on its own is, whew, holy moly, you got to have a death wish for that.
Yeah, it's...
in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's fun in a nutshell.
Jack Victory's on the line with us. He'll be at Fundraiser Wrestling November 11th at the Bergen Community College Gym, 400 Paramus Road in Paramus, New Jersey. FundraiserWrestling.com is the website. It's the third annual benefit for the Bergen Community College Student Veteran Emergency Fund. Jack, you said you haven't dusted off the boots in a couple years, so what have you been up to? Have you been involved in any type of wrestling, or have you just kind of taken yourself entirely out of it?
Besides going, you know, doing, you know, the guest training down at the NXT Performance Center and stuff like that, I've been pretty much out of it. I own a couple companies. You know, I put in a lot of time working for working at those. So, you know, I don't have many, you know, much free time. I'm pretty beat up, too. You know, when I broke my knee at the pay-per-view in ECW, that pretty much put me out of wrestling pretty much for good. You know, I have plates and stuff still holding my knee together to today. So I wake up in pain, go to sleep in pain, and I just don't want to screw it up anymore, you know?
No, absolutely. That makes all the sense in the world. I mean, you had the wrestling business was good to you, and you're definitely remembered by a lot of people, including our fans. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I know you're on here talking fundraiser wrestling with us November 11th. The high spot thing that you and Steve would do. Is there an origin to that, or was this just something you guys decided you were just going to do one night?
It just came to us and it went, and people, that's how a lot of fans know us by, is the high spot.
Cause I would do it all the time. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. 17 years old, walking around, just throwing up the V's and yelling high
just
spot.
Just holding up the V. Yep.
Jack, we're going to go into a commercial break, but we'd love to have you hang on the line. Is there anything else you want to tell the fans out there listening? I couldn't find anything on you on social media, and I do apologize. I don't know if you keep that on the
quiet. That's fine. I'm just so happy that I get a chance to punch Tommy Dreamer in the mouth. Hopefully on the 11th. he still owes me $5 from a bet, probably. Oh God, 10 years ago, and he's not paid me, and I'm looking forward to recouping that $5.
You got to get in on some of that House of Hardcore. Maybe you just scrap that and you become like the voice of House of Hardcore.
I heard he's doing very well. Yeah, I heard he's doing very well, so he should have my $5.
Jack, it's been a pleasure. We'd like you to hang on the line again. Jack Victory, he'll be up here in Jersey November 11th at the Bergen Community College Gym for Fundraiser Wrestling. Get out there, show Fundraiser Wrestling your support. They're doing amazing things, you know, in this day and age with the wrestling business and the wrestling industry. You hear all these terrible stories about promoters taking money, not paying guys. These guys are strictly raising money for these causes. The third annual benefit for the Bergen Community College Student Veteran Emergency Fund is what they're doing this time.
Great cause. So, 'cause no one takes enough care of our veterans.
I agree with that 100%. So check out these guys at Fundraiser Wrestling. A huge thanks to Jack Victory for joining us, and we're going to be right back after this commercial break. All right, it's time to throw out some plugs. We're going to promote those that promote us. I got to find some music.
Plug music.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, here.
Yes!
Well, we're going to dive into him, too, later. Let's start with our friends over at WrestlePro, WrestlePROonline.com. Saturday, November 18th, at the Rahway Rec Center in Rahway, New Jersey. WrestlePro returns after its monster month of October with our November 18th show. So many stars are making their returns and debuts with WrestlePro. Jake the Snake Roberts returns. Jack Swagger debuts. Rosemary debuts. Plus, your WrestlePro champion, Chris Avery Kuehling, the Apple Corpse, Kevin Matthews, Falaba, I know, the Apple Corps. I do it every time. And so many more. Go to WrestlePROonline.com to check them out. Get your tickets. Do not miss out on this show. WrestlePro here in the Northeast, they put on one of the best shows. So I suggest you check them out. Smash Wrestling, smash-wrestling.com, November 18th. Go hard or go home. The boys of Smash Wrestling will be in Montreal, and they're making their debut there for their first ever Fight Network taping outside of Ontario. Already announced, Matt Sydal takes on Tarek, Vanessa Craven takes on Xander Bale, Stu Grayson takes on Kevin Bennett, plus Heavy Metal Chaos, Frankie TM, and so many more. Go to smash-wrestling.com. Yeah, nah, I'm going to pass on the Angry Orchard. I don't really like that one. Nah, I don't want to kill your tease. Don't worry about it. On Point Wrestling, opwrestling.com, Masters of the Mat 3, taking place November 19th at the Kevin Hogan Memorial Hall in Williamstown, New Jersey. Already announced, Drake Chambers, Alex Payne, Unbreakable Andy, Brandon Kirk, Xavier Cross, Damian Smith, Kyle the Beast, and more. Plus, your OPW Championship match, Tony Deppen defends against Drew Blood, plus Nick Gage versus Dominic Garini? I don't even know if I'm saying that right. And so many more. There's an AIW showcase match. Go to opwrestling.com for all your information. House of Glory Wrestling, HOGWrestling.net, Saturday, December 16th at the New York City Arena, 9112 144th Place, New York, New York. All you need to know right now. HOG's 7th anniversary show. Ric Flair in the house, bitches. Card to be announced. Tickets on sale now at HOGWrestling.net. The meet and greet is at 4, and the show starts at 6. So they've moved back the meet and greet time because it's the Nature Boy, and you'd be a fool not to go. So check them out. December 16th. God, we're promoting shows for December already. Where does the time go? Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, wildcatsports.com. The Revolutionary Rumble is November 4th, this Saturday at the Grace King Auditorium in Metriara, Louisiana. Black G's takes on Stephen Anthony, Jay Spade, Luke Hawks, Stevie Richards, and so many more. Go to wildcatsports.com. Battle Club Pro, They All Fall Down, also takes place this Saturday night at the Knights of Columbus, 106 Bergen Ave, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. JT Dunn takes on Matt Cross. Jordan Grace takes on Santana Garrett. Plus, so many more. Kyle the Beast is there. The Hitman for Hire, Mr. Grimm's Open Body Bag Challenge. Anthony Bowens, friend of the show, takes on Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. And, of course, the Stiff Robo Ginger, Gary J, will be there. Check them out at BattleClubPro.com. Pro Wrestling Magic. Magic. Pro Wrestling Magic. Why? I gotta fix this.
Pro Wrestling Magic. Wrestling is magic.
WrestlingIsMagic.com. It's a Miracle. November 11th at the Phil Sheridan Building, 106 Bergen Ave, Ridgefield Park. The last stop on the road to Kingdom Come. Do not miss this show, Kevin. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why, Kevin?
Which show?
The Pro Wrestling Magic show.
Well, it's the same day as the fundraiser. I gotta pick and choose.
That's fair. Good call. Maybe you could do both.
What are the times?
I don't have a time for Pro Wrestling Magic. My apologies. But JT Dunn takes on Michael Elgin. Danny Moff takes on Falaba.
I know.
And Steve Mack takes on EC Negro. And EC Negro is also on the fundraiser wrestling show, FYI.
Did you announce... Did they just announce that now Steve Mack or what? They won't be allowed at ringside in each other's matches or something like that.
Because they're sons of bitches.
That's right. Because the King and Dan Moff are on a collision course.
I got fucking Danny Moff beef too again. Just so you know.
This orchard isn't that bad.
I never said it was bad. I just wasn't in the mood for it.
Oh, well, you got a tee right there.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. And, of course, Fundraiser Wrestling. Jack Victory was just with us. Fundraiser
Jock of Victory.
FundraiserWrestling.com. Yeah! Saturday, November 11th. Tommy Dreamer, CW Anderson, Jack Victory, Nunzio, EC Negro, and more. Check those guys out, please. Also, we announced it last week. We are now partnered with Collar and Elbow.
Yeah!
CollarandElbowBrand.com. Head over there, Buy whatever you want. Buy a t-shirt, buy a hat. The t-shirts are awesome. They actually, I came home last week from the show. They sent me a t-shirt, Kevin. Hot shit. Soft as a motherfucker.
What size?
XL, baby. So if you go there, enter the code WIZARDS at checkout, and you save 10%, which is pretty awesome.
Yep.
So
push it.
Go to collarandelbowbrand.com. Support the Wizards. We see a small percentage of your sale, and you save 10%.
That also means that Pro Wrestling Tees as well.
ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. We have all of our shirts there. The Shining Wizards Network shirts, the Kick logo t-shirts. You can get the pink and black. You can get the black and yellow. You can make your own. You could do Daisy. I don't even know what that is.
Mix and match, baby!
Do it, do it, do it good.
Doing it and doing it and doing it, Wizards.
We want to take a minute to thank The Rant for allowing us to go from 8 to 10. It is 9:57. Stay tuned for The Rant. I believe they're on at 10 o'clock. Double A, thank you for being
a friend,
understanding, and knowing the importance of this interview with Ted DiBiase and Jack Victory. So hopefully people tuned in, they listened, they enjoyed it. In about 2 minutes, we're going to sign off from The Rant, and you're just going to have to listen in podcast form at shiningwizards.com.
Because we still got a lot to talk about.
So this Leo Rush thing.
Okay.
Because we didn't finish this because Mr. Victory called and he
hit us
with some knowledge and some good stories.
Good interview. A lot more than I expected.
Yeah, he's a fun guy.
Good guy.
Just keep your mouth shut. At the end, why are you tweeting stuff like this?
All right.
Why?
This is where I'm kind of in limbo. It's 22 years old. Granted, that's an adult. That's normally when people are out of college making their way into the workplace. When you're out of college and you're into the workplace for your first like real big boy job, you fuck up. So this is kind of like his fuck up. Now, will he get another one if he does it again? Probably not. So as they say in the Michael Kay show, it's not a good optic.
It's terrible. Just a terrible decision.
And he deleted it again, and even his apology wasn't the best, but did you see Jack Gallagher's response to it?
I think I have it somewhere on here, maybe. No, I don't have it on here, I'm sorry.
More or less, it was basically because Leo Rush's grammar wasn't the best in his apology. So Jack Gallagher said, take the English classes at the Performance Center, because I guess the international talent have English classes.
All right. Well, I mean,
so
look, man, listen, don't shit where you eat.
And again, I like Leo Rush. He's been nothing but nice to me whenever I met him, whenever I talked to him at the Magic shows or at the House of Glory shows. He's a good guy. It's just he just fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, people make mistakes. You gotta know better, though. Like we said, we just talked to Jack Victory about bar fights and how it's not ever gonna happen again because everyone has social media and they all have their fucking camera phones and people would rather video record goofy shit like that than actually step in and help or do something. It's the same thing applies. He's under contract with the WWE. That's the whole reason you start professional wrestling. I don't care what anybody tells you.
He got there quick.
Well, put your big boy pants on. Don't be a fool.
There you go.
You make mistakes.
Now, let me ask you this. When we were talking before we had Ted DiBiase on, how nervous were you? Because I was nervous that I may accidentally let an F-bomb slip somewhere. And then once I got comfortable with him, I was okay.
I wasn't nervous.
You weren't nervous? You were like 95% sure you weren't going to drop an F-bomb or say something inappropriate?
I was pretty aware of the vulgar language. Inappropriateness, I can't control that.
Right. Because that's also a matter of what someone else can consider inappropriate. But that's basically that was a whole like God interview just about, for the most part.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a huge part of his life, and like he said, you don't have to believe in God.
I agree. But imagine if one of us said something on that interview that would have offended him, and he just hung up on us. Like, it happens.
Sure. Yeah. People make mistakes. You just need to be more aware of your surroundings. Perfect example. Brian Myers, he got released.
Who's that?
Kurt Hawkins, excuse me.
Kurt Hawkins. I'm not familiar with
Do you recall when he got released and we were lucky enough to get his first interview, Gesundheit? And you just need to be aware of your surroundings because at the same time, Mark Henry put out there that like he was celebrating what, like his 17th year with the company or something?
At the same time.
At the same day when they were making all those cuts.
Yeah.
You just have to be mindful. And maybe your little joke about...
We didn't talk about it though, did we?
He didn't want to talk about it.
That's right.
Because it's a because it's easy. It's easy for.
I forgot about that.
Me and you, right? We're fans,
right?
Right. These are people that you come across. You're with every day. You know them. You know, to make a comment like that. Like Emma's gonna do fine on the indies. They're gonna be fine
every day.
They're gonna be fine, but still, you never want to see somebody lose their job or get released. And to go on social media where once it's out there, you can delete it, you do whatever you want with it. It's going to be out there forever.
And that's the thing. And another difference is what we do, we're live, right? For the most part, we're live on the rant.
Right.
We can't undo what we say once it's out of our mouths on the microphone into the airwaves.
Right, of course.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you have a chance to not hit the send button or the tweet button.
I'll tell you what. If someone wants to... Oh, yes. So once you put it out there, though...
So you, like, he typed what he typed, read it, and still sent it.
Sure.
Whereas something like where we would say, like, say we accidentally dropped the F-bomb with Ted DiBiase, I'm sure eventually he'd forgive us. We'd apologize the next day. But once we say what we say, we can't take it back because it's on the air.
Right.
It's live. So... There's just there's more thought process in tweeting and statuses as opposed to radio.
And I'm sure somewhere along the line, either before he put that tweet out or after, someone made the same joke. But they're not under the WWE microscope. That's all it is.
Absolutely.
That's all it is. And hopefully he learns from it because he should have a bright future.
He'll learn from it. He's a smart enough kid, I think, that he'll learn from it.
Sticking with news and notes, I guess, what are your thoughts on the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw?
Going to the Manhattan Center in conjunction, I guess, with the Barclays Center.
Yeah, apparently they're going to run both shows at the same time, I guess.
See.
And go back and forth?
They're going to have to cut back and forth, and this is definitely going to have to be, this is January 25th?
22nd.
That's going to be an all-hands-on-deck show. That's going to be, they'll have no problem running both venues. They'll have no problem getting people from one venue to the other if they have to.
There'll be a lot of filler. And Raw.
I want to go to the Manhattan Center.
Absolutely.
So we should try to look. When are tickets on sale? Do we know that yet?
Tomorrow.
Ah!
Wait, what's today? Friday. Okay. Sorry. Friday.
So
I would love to go to the Manhattan
Center. I'd go to the Manhattan Center for Raw 25. I think it's cool.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's totally. If it were up to me, that's where I run Raw every week. The Manhattan Center.
You're not making your money by running it at Raw.
Well, have you seen the pictures of attendance on some of these shows?
Look, it's easy. Apparently,
there are only eight. I don't know how many. And I should know this because I've been there in Baltimore. About 8,000 people for Raw last night.
Last night.
That's what I read.
And
I don't know anything else, so I have to go by what I read.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Ah, this Angry Orchard is delicious.
That's nice, right?
That is what it is.
What else do we have here in news and notes? They announced that they might be doing WrestleMania 35 from Detroit.
All right.
Thoughts?
That'll help the economy. That matters to me.
I'm with you. Who really cares?
Because Detroit needs all the fucking help it can get. And surrounding towns, too.
Yeah. Rockstar Spud is gone. He's out of Impact Wrestling.
Oh. Is Detroit a dome or a stadium?
I would assume they would do it at the Silver Dome.
Ford Field. Ford Field. Is that a dome?
Yes.
Oh, go for it. Fucking go for it.
Why not, right?
Dude, everyone says like it's the WrestleMania is now like the Super Bowl, so they want to have it in warm weather places and with the least chance of weather, because it is in March, which is why when they did it in New York or New Jersey, actually, there were concerns that the weather would not be good because there's still a chance of snow.
Right.
So, but if you have it in a dome, pyro might not be there, but still be fucking dope.
Yeah, they've been cutting out pyro anyway.
Yeah, that pissed
they'll me still off. they'll run it for Mania and they'll figure out how to get it in.
Oh yeah, Mania for sure. Yeah.
Like I said, Rockstar Spud, he's out at Impact.
I have that on my notes too.
PWI Insider is reporting Impact has recently had negotiations with Ricochet.
That is, I heard, no longer a thing.
Okay. Well, I did all my notes yesterday because I had to work all day.
But his counterpart, Tessa Blanchard, I read, is being brought in for tapings.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I also heard Sami Callihan was another name.
From what I've read, he is confirmed as well to debut. Also PW Inside.
At Impact.
At Impact after Bound for Glory tapings.
Oh, no shit. Because yeah. I know there's rumors that he's going to be the Switchblade character we've been hearing about on New Japan.
He's going to be with, from what I've, again, this is all just what I've read, PW Insider, OVE. He's going to be linked with them.
Oh, he's going to, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense, because they are really boys, so. Yeah.
And again, this is not spoilers, because I honestly don't know. It's just what I've read from reports.
I don't know if you watched 205 Live, but.
I have not.
They took Neville.
My laptop has AIDS.
They took Neville out of the intro.
I did read that, though.
So take that for what it's worth.
Did you hear the rumors of who they want to add to 205 Live?
No, I haven't.
Rockstar Spud, obviously, that you mentioned, which I think would be great.
I like that.
And this one, I just want to like stare at your face for this reaction of who they're going to bring in. NXT, Hideo Itami.
Boo!
Did you know that already?
I did not know that at all.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
been pitched. Again, reported on PW Insider, because I always credit my sources, bitches. Yeah, they want to put him in 205 Live. Which,
that's what you're going to do with Kenta. Wow. You literally took the air out of the room.
I know, but I think we actually talked about this last week. I said, at what point do you have to start considering adding more people to this division?
Sure. I mean, with all due respect to like a Johnny Gargano, I think he fits there better.
I would love for Johnny Gargano to be on 205 Live. Oh, that's probably because I'm just he's acquaintance. So I would just like to see him on the main roster.
I don't have a problem with a Tommy going. I do have a problem with it.
They're not going to move Gargano up until Ciampa comes back.
Right. They got to play that out. God damn it. He's such a star. And he's I feel like he falls into that injury.
Plague. That's huge. And when he came back from his run and he did his whole heel thing with Chris Hero, he didn't look like he was in like, I don't remember what his physique was like prior. He didn't look like he was in the best shape that he's been in.
I don't think we ever got the best of him.
Yeah. Well, and that's
in NXT.
Injury, probably.
So you want to put him in as a cruiserweight where he is jumping around? I mean, unless he does.
That division, and I hate to shit on it because I really do like what they've been doing, especially with Drew Gulak and with. I guess even with Enzo. And
if Drew Gulak is going to dress up like Sasha Banks, he needs to wear a cup.
What was his?
It looks like he had a roll of quarters down the front of his pants.
Fucking Gulak, really?
Hysterical, but
fucking my man, pots and pans.
You gotta cover that up. It's for you and the wife, bro.
I haven't watched that yet. That was the Halloween contest video.
Yes,
with Miz weird. And
it's Tony put it up on our page. It's quite funny, actually.
Yeah, I can't. I don't have the same luxuries at my new job as I did at my old job to watch shit like that. So,
what do you do with the rest of your time, bro?
Huh?
What?
I go home. Today I was with my niece. So Tuesdays and Thursdays I'm with my niece. Then I go to the bar.
All right. Priorities, Kevin.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, see Drew Gulak's roll of quarters.
Comedy. Yeah. So I'll take doing a show over staring at fucking pocket change of Gulak.
Oh, it ain't pocket change, my friend.
It's the center pocket. Eight ball fucking side pocket.
Pro Wrestling Sheet spoke to the promoter of Real Canadian Wrestling about Jarrett's behavior at their show last Friday.
And this promoter claimed that he showed up late and appeared to be slightly intoxicated, then passed out in the locker room during the show before getting ready for his match.
Right.
Jarrett has denied that he passed out and called the promoter an amateur. And I think I saw, did Jarrett check himself into rehab?
He did.
Good for him. I hope he can get his shit together.
Yeah, and I didn't read them, but I could have sworn I saw a link somewhere where Jeff Jarrett's daughters were pointing fingers at Karen, which I don't want to.
Oh.
I don't want to even dive into that because right. Jeff and Karen have always been amazing.
Well, we won't dive into.
We won't dive into it.
The Bullet Club did a promo.
Promo.
And they offered the McMahon family a 10% discount on tickets to Ring of Honor show in San Antonio on November 17th. The promo was in response to NXT having a house show in San Antonio with Shawn Michaels refereeing a title match between Drew and Adam Cole the same night. I'll tell you what, the Bullet Club, the Young Bucks, they're fucking brilliant, super creative, and, you know, everything that the WWE has done to try and slow them down, firing Jimmy Jacobs, the cease and desist, they've turned everything into a positive.
And those shirts are now going to be available at Hot Topics.
Awesome. And Jimmy Jacobs is working. I know he's working CZW November 11th.
In the ring.
In the ring.
Yeah.
So, I mean, fuck.
I have a Jimmy Jacobs story, and it's one that I regret. You know how I'm afraid to fucking talk to
yes.
people that I recognize at shows? It was a union show for WrestlePro. And he's talking to Kevin Matthews. And I shake Kevin Matthews' hand. It's like a picnic bench. They're literally sitting right across from each other. I shake KM's hand, like I always do. And I look right across to Jimmy Jacobs, kind of knowing who he is, but not 100% sure. And I just look at him, we make eye contact, and I just turn and walk away.
Boo! Yeah. I like turtles.
Ah, there it is. I was wondering where we were going to get that in.
Those you idiots.
And it haunts me to this day. It really does.
Yeah.
Especially when I saw that he got let go. I'm like, fuck, I totally just looked at him right in the face and didn't introduce myself and do that shit.
Well, you live and you learn, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's no Leo Rush, but you'll figure it out.
I still don't do it.
Have you been following the Miz Baron Corbin thing?
What, they're in the social media battle?
Yes.
I have not.
Okay. I'm going to play it for you.
Oh, yes. With this audio?
Yes.
Ha, ha,
this is the Baron. We're going to start with the Baron Corbin.
Hey, Miz. I hope you were watching that. I came into your house, kicked down your door, and ran over your little Raw superstars like nothing. There's a reason I'm the United States champion, and tomorrow I'm going back to the number one show, SmackDown Live, and I'm going to continue to do what I do best and run people over. I've got a little bit of advice for you. Come Survivor Series, you should just stay home and keep playing dress up with your little wife.
Baron Corbin, I just got your message. I've been really busy this week, but I gotta say, it's the best promo I've ever seen you cut. It's amazing because when I cut my best promos, it's in front of thousands in attendance and millions watching at home on a big camera in a WWE ring, while your best promo is on an iPhone on social media.
Yes.
So listen up, Twitter tough guy. This isn't about Raw and SmackDown supremacy for me. This is about making the Intercontinental Championship the most prestigious and honorable title in all the WWE. I bust my ass day in and day out to make that title relevant, while the United States Championship is working overtime to make its holder relevant. See, I've heard all about you in the WWE ring, how talented you are. But to me, you're just another generic big man who will be gone in 2 years while I'm carrying this show for the next 10. And if you ever talk about my pregnant wife again, I'll knock your teeth down your throat.
Pretty intense stuff from The Miz. What are you doing? Oh, Kev's got his Miz t-shirt on. He's got a show. Gotta show it.
I got the Miz shirt on underneath my Duck the Clothesline sweatshirt.
You're gay. You're fucking gay.
Always rocked the Miz.
I can't not like the Miz. He's on fucking
fire. I'm gonna cut a promo right now.
Oh shit. All right.
No, I'm not gonna really cut a promo. But all the haters
All the non-believers for the past 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
In your face.
Since he debuted in WWE against Tatanka, his first match. That's right. Tatarki. I have been a Miz guy. I have been, always have been, never doubted the man once in my life. Even at a babyface turn that nobody appreciated. Defending Randy Orton against the Shield. Nobody cared. My eyes were open.
Correct! Ding!
To the talent and the charisma and the overall superstardom that was The Miz. The fuck are you talking about?
That's right. All right, yeah, it's over. You ruined it.
No, I understand your fandom for The Miz, and it took me a while. It took me a long time to come on board. Listen, but I'd say probably in the last 2 years.
Miz and Morrison were great. They were great.
All right.
Miz and Alex Riley, they were great. Miz as the champion in that Rock Cena, he was great. The Miz has always been great. In fact, he's always been awesome. And now everyone is trying to jump on my coattails and ride him because I've been the only one that supported him his entire career.
I don't know about the only one.
Well, yeah, obviously that was a little exaggeration for dramatic effect.
I like your exaggeration for dramatic effect.
That's right.
It's getting pretty late over here in Studio B.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Anything from Raw you want to touch upon real fast? We don't have to go in depth about Raw. What jumped out to you?
I'm not going to lie to you. I watched the first half, and then I went to a bar that had a ping pong table, and I started playing ping pong.
Wow, ping pong, huh?
Yeah, I'm a big ping pong guy.
All right.
Samoa Joe came back.
Yes, so did Nia Jax.
So did Nia Jax in a match that was originally supposed to be Bayley versus Alicia Fox. Made the call to make Nia Jax in there. Nia Jax gets the win over Bayley, which is, if you want to bitch about that, that's a story for a whole other day.
Stephanie came back too, no?
Stephanie did, and threatened to fire Kurt Angle. Made him the captain of Team Raw and Survivor Series. So that was pretty cool. Kurt Angle still looks like when he's standing in a suit that he wants to sit down with no chair behind him. It's fucking, he looks so awkward in his
Who
suit.
Beat up, who put Daniel Bryan on
Kane.
His ass?
Kane. So Shane McMahon said, stay here. The only reason why I'm not throwing you out to the wolves is because you, oh, not Shane McMahon. Kurt Angle said that to him. Just stay in my office. Lights went out. Cell phone light. Kane came in. Cell phone light went off. And then they ended up with him getting wheeled off in a stretcher. Matt Hardy lost to fucking The Miz, which is cool, but I'm a big Matt Hardy mark too. Well, so seeing
Jeff's
him,
hurt, so they're really, I mean, you can't really do much with
on,
Matt, can you?
He was on the main, he was on the fucking
main event, right?
Yeah.
You beat your boy.
That's, dude, why are they putting Hardy against all my boys? They haven't, listen, this is a conspiracy against KJG. They're fucking, having Matt Hardy fight.
Wow, KJ.
Kevin.
If Matt Hardy fought Kevin Joseph Garifo.
Listen, my president.
He was your president. We are against, coming up on the 1 year anniversary of our election.
Against The Miz and Curt Hawkins? That's conspiracy. Finn Balor, Cesaro. Finn wins, but then gets laid out by Kane again, which is weird. Let's see.
Braun came back, no?
Braun came back, destroyed again, my man, The Miz.
Wow.
And his Miztourage.
Everyone's got it out for The Miz, huh?
Dude, it's killing me. There was a stupid Halloween gimmick thing with the Good Brothers and Rhino and Heath Slater. Elias, Jason Jordan in a feud now, I guess. Kalisto and Drew Gulak. Kalisto beat him.
Abu
Gulak.
Oh, wow. Cat Victory might be the winner, though.
Yeah, I wish I would have gave a little bit more time for that, but...
More time for what?
For just yeah, he didn't get it.
That's fine. I heard it. And I almost corpsed over here.
King of puns. That's what I am. Raw. It is. It's a show. That's what it is.
There you go. Raw is a show.
There it is.
Good call.
That's the name of the episode. Raw. No, it can't be.
No, it won't be. It'll be The Price of Fame with Ted DiBiase, probably. Again, we want to thank our guest Ted DiBiase. for joining us tonight to talk about the Price of Fame. Priceoffame.com is the website where you can get all the information on the showtimes and the availability of tickets next Tuesday, November 7th. Also, next Tuesday, November. Wow. Fuck me!
Listen. It's 10:15.
It is 10:15. Next Tuesday, November 7th, Joe Gacy, former CZW champion, will be in studio with myself and Kevin, shooting shit, having a good time, talking wrestling, talking CZW and all that jazz. And hopefully we are done before the Ric Flair 30 for 30, and I'm sure we will be. If you are a fan of the Shining Wizards Network, tomorrow the Neckbreaker Boys, they drop their last episode ever. So go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. I'm sure they got a lot of good things lined up. As you heard us announce last week, Radioactive Metal will be joining the Shining Wizards Network.
Love it.
And in a twist of fate, their first guest will be Brian from Neckbreaker and Drive By Bukkake. He'll be the guest on the Radioactive Metal's first show debuting on the Shining Wizards Network. So keep tabs on that. We've also added the High Spot podcast, another wrestling podcast, friends of the show. They've joined the Shining Wizards Network. You heard all that in the commercial block that we played after the Ted DiBiase interview. And, of course, thanks to Jack Victory for joining us November 11th, Fundraiser Wrestling at the Bergen Community College Gym. FundraiserWrestling.com is the website. Those are all of our plugs. Kevin, what do you got for us?
I got two shows in the next, 5 days. Tomorrow night, Joke Barrel Club in West Orange, New Jersey. That's going to be a lot of fun with headliner Vinny Nardiello. And then Sunday's actually back in Montclair. It's a fundraiser show to raise money to prevent suicide awareness. We've all been affected by someone who unfortunately has taken their own life. And we're going to try to raise some money to support hotlines, support that kind of stuff. That's Sunday in Montclair. It's a stacked show. Sean Morton, McDonald and Carney, myself, KP Burke, Mike Salona, who's who of great New Jersey comedians, and that's going to be great. At Kevin Garifo on Twitter, Shining Wizards Kevin on Instagram. Just follow, support. If you follow me, I guarantee you from now on, I'm awful with it. I will follow you back. So please do that.
And that's the Shining Wizards for tonight. I will see you guys next week. Again, if you like the show, tell a friend. Hit us up on the Twitter at Wizards Podcast, Facebook.com/Shining Wizards. Daily discussions are going on. Props to Tony. He came up with a lot of great stuff this week. Referee conversation, the breaking news about the releases. Tony's been on it, so much love to you, Tony Z.
Fucking Tony.
And we'll see you guys next Tuesday live, 7 p.m., rantemradio.com. Joe Gacy, former CZW champion in studio. We'll see you guys next week.